are now listening to the Melanated Movement podcast with Tess and Anne. We invite you to take a deep breath, open your mind, and prepare to go on this wild ride. Episode loading in 5, 4, 3, 2.
We're in 5, we're like 5 and 4. And 3.
Period. I don't care what nobody said. That theme song go hard.
It does. It does. I love it.
I love it.
I don't care whoever calls it corny. We love it.
Not you calling out my person. We got beef?
No, we don't. It's cool. It's cool. I like her.
I like her too.
She's all right. You can keep her.
Thanks. Welcome to another episode of the Melanated Movement podcast with Tess and Anne. This is your girl, Anne.
Hey, Anne.
Hey. I got Tess on the other side of the mother loving mic. Hey, Tess.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
You look great.
Grateful.
Yeah.
It's the lighting. If you can see the stress pimples going on, I was like, let me just put a little powder on just because for something to be on the internet forever. And then the last video we took, mm-hmm. I looked so good on my side. And when we download the video from your side, I looked rough.
Struggle.
No, I look rough, girl. My skin looked dry.
I promise you, I didn't notice. So I would have said something. I would have been like, and maybe you might want to grease up a little bit.
Put a little something.
I don't know what it is, but a little something, you know?
A little something.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my goodness. So this 2024 has been really like running. Why are you running? Because it's about to be April.
Oh my God, that's
right. I feel like we blinked in. Man, I'm actually quite grateful that it's almost April because I'm ready for a lot of things in my life to come to a close. Mm-hmm. However, come. I just feel like since the beginning of the year, since Cat Williams went on to Club Shay Shay,
Okay. Before we go into all of that, I just want to say, like, I don't know how much you believe in, like, astrology and, like, club. Yeah. Like, so people were talking a lot about the age of Aquarius. And how mm-hmm. the age of Aquarius was going to be a lot about like AI just running amok in like all the spaces and infiltrating all of that stuff, right? But also a lot of truths being revealed and coming up to the surface and people getting caught up in their actions that they've gotten away with for years. And when I tell you, this first quarter has been lit already with like revelations and Cat Williams, I feel like, you know, just kind of like set the stage and then like, every, you know, he walked so that all this other stuff could just like mm-hmm. run and fly. So anyway, I just wanted to like, how do you feel? Because I keep thinking back to like Age of Aquarius. I'm like, oh my God, is that you? You know, because some stuff is
over the Himalayas.
Wait, let me see you play up.
Where you at, player?
So how do you feel? Like, do you agree that you feel like that's probably like what's happening too? Like, it's like just the season for the reason.
Just the season for some bullshit.
For real.
Would Cat Williams be considered a modern day prophet?
I don't hate that thought at all. I mean, you might be onto something because he said reveal all. He's like ocean spread like and it's like everything should just like yeah. Anyway, you were saying
really quick on the ADHD. Like, imagine there's a meme. I would love for someone to create this if someone's in production. It's like there's a meme and it's like Cat Williams looking like Moses, right? With his robe, with his staff, and he's standing in front of the ocean and the ocean is splitting. Uh-huh. And on the other side of the ocean is Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
That would be dope.
That would be a dope
meme.
Oh my God. That's a visual for real, for real. You're so creative. Mm. I would love to see that. Somebody make it happen.
Oh, that'd be a good meme for the first, like when it says quarter one of 2024, Cat Williams. He said, Ippy that set.
Ippy that set. He was not messing around, let me tell you. So tell me about what's been going on. Because, you know, you're plugged in.
Well, you know, I try for the few hours I have to myself a day. There's been a lot of things just going on. I know last we spoke, we were talking about like Kate Middleton. We talked about everything that's going on in the environment and things of that nature. But for this episode, we have to dedicate more time. I mean, we got to talk about old boy with Truth Social. But his bullshit. And then I do want to talk about the Diddy raid, everything that's going on with him, and hopefully the Illuminati don't cut me off, because we need to talk about it. Right? It seemed like he got kicked out the circle.
Oh my god, is that what it is?
I mean, I don't know, because imagine someone who's running.
Yeah.
Imagine all the things that he's been alleged, right? All the way back from the whole Tupac Biggie situation, how he set up like the pew pew with Biggie and Tupac, right? So imagine since that era to 2024, the empire that he's built, right? And the reign, so, like, and then the connection that he has that quote unquote, like, has been giving him like anyway, he's attached to power that's been giving him like, you know, attachments to certain things, making all the monies and all that stuff. So I just feel like either something happened on that sector, on that side, where they're like, okay, we can't rein you in anymore, you've been like cut off, or the wrong thing happened to the right person. You feel me? And they're like, all right then. Okay then.
So tell me about this raid. So what happened?
So Diddy's house, he has two houses. Well, he has more than that, but his house in LA and his house in Miami both got raided by Homeland Security. And one thing about Homeland Security that we've learned is that, like, obviously they take too long to research things, because, you know, when it comes to things that matter, like predatory things, they'll wait a whole decade to arrest people. They'll know certain things is happening and never, like, go on with it, however, for your house to be raided to that capacity, to where like they pulled out his sons and had them arrested and they were sitting on the side of the lawn. They arrested members of his team for alleged things that were put out in the, what was that called? What's something that someone puts together to go up to the courts, the alleged items. Anyway, the alleged items had a few of his people listed on there for different things. And the people that were listed on there were arrested if they were in Diddy's home. Right? Because there's like a suspected like drug mule that was in there, his assistant, blah, 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 got arrested, taken out. Right? And then they provided video from the raid, which is odd to me. Because like, have they ever provided a video of a raid to that capacity? Like when they put Jeff Epstein's home out, it was it put together. It wasn't it raided. Has there ever been a raid?
I don't know. I feel like the answer to that is a yes. There have been situations, like high profile situations, where they have released videos of like them like kind of trying to catch the person, or like I remember, I mean, that was a long time ago, but O.J. Simpson, when like there was like a lot of that was televised, not just like his trial, but like any like everything that led up to it. But I don't know how often they've done it, and I don't think it's a common occurrence. So I do find it curious that they did release.
And you named a black person.
Worth looking into. I wish I had more information on that. Now that we're talking about it, but it is that is definitely like a keen observation,
right,
that they would just like, you know, display like that.
For Trump's raid, when they thought that he had for all those like documents he had in his home on stage in his house, they had showed like the helicopter view of like those agents pulling out those documents from the house, but not view of inside the house. But I understand, because he was a president, that of course, that's a bigger safety issue, not that he's ever, you know, not exposed his life before. However, I could see how they're a little bit more secretive with his raid because of his ranking and, you know, the social hierarchy. Right. But like, okay, so Diddy, and then Diddy's thing has just been really, really, really wild. And then the raid and showing each room and things like that, showing his safe, which I thought was wild. Like, it's one thing.
They showed his safe?
They showed his safe. They showed what he had in his safe, where his safe was. His safe is one in one of his closets. And then they opened it and they showed everything in his safe. Everything. Why would someone do that? I just don't feel like that's okay. Like, unless you had like, unless like there's paperwork in there or there's something that is saying like drug trafficking, you know, like something related to what they're doing and they're showing the evidence.
But I'm so, so sorry. I'm laughing because what you just said, I just pictured opening the safe and it's like this single piece of paper that is listed on there and it's just his confession. Like, I am a human like, or some like trafficker, or I am. Imagine just having safe, or just like the safe is like the word inside, so it's like that's my safe word.
That's my safe word.
Oh my god!
Another meme. Sorry. Another meme. Yeah, for real. But no, like they showed like where his safe was. Like they like it's like a zoom out. And they show his entire closet. And then you can see where his safe is located. And, and then there, on another scene, it was like just them showing like the safe and everything that's in the safe. So
that is wild.
So these people now know where he lives, what his, the insides of his house look like, and what his what's inside his safe.
So you can draw an entire blueprint of like of the two if you plan on, you know, doing a heist or something.
Man,
but there's probably nothing of value there still, right? They probably still are. I mean, I don't know. Where is he?
What do you mean? Like,
where is he? Is he like, where is he? Like, because I know, okay, so the last thing I learned, and I haven't seen, I haven't gotten any follow-ups from that, is that they couldn't, they, he wasn't at any of his homes.
Oh, he was at the airport.
They had tracked his, they had tracked his plane. His plane was en route to, was it Antigua?
Antigua.
It was Antigua. And they don't have any extradition laws there. Mm-hmm. Right? But then, was he in the plane? Like, is he still in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not arrested?
So from the 25th of March, when the raid happened, he was at Opa-locka Airport in South Florida. When they said Opa-locka, so that's down the street, Opa-locka.
So, it's a hop and a skip away.
Hop and skip, I'm about to go see Diddy.
No, don't, Aunt, don't do it. Don't do
it. Shit, if I can, no, I don't want no involvement.
No
contest. No, but so, okay. So he, so his daughters, he has twin daughters who are in school, are school age, right? And he was like, oh yeah, there's a raid coming. Someone had to have tipped him off for him to be in the airport. Well, I mean, whatever. He was going on vacation to Antigua with his two daughters, right? And Homeland Security was like, stop it.
Fonticapela.
Stop. Where are you going?
Why are you running?
Why are you running? I know. So they stopped him or whatever. But his, but the plane, I don't know who, I don't know if his daughters were on the plane or if anybody else was on the plane. Cause like the video that they showed on the news was him speaking with Homeland Security and his daughter speaking to security. Or, yeah. So, but the thing is, he stayed, is what I know. I don't know about his family, but the plane left. The plane left Opa-locka and still went.
It was a distraction.
To Antigua. It could be. It could be. It could be a diversion. He has a whole nother plane somewhere else that's already been delivered.
Delivered.
Crazy.
Dang.
It's wild.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Anyway, the news is saying that he, like, he's like the black, you know, Jeffrey Epstein. Imagine.
I mean, he had an incredible amount of power. Another thing that I learned recently, like, thank you, TikTok, was that a while ago, back in the night, like 1999 or something like that, J-Lo had known some stuff because she was part of the inner circle. And so he paid her off, like he paid her for her silence. And so they had like an entire like court thing or whatever. And she's like, I ain't seen nothing. I ain't known nothing. I ain't heard nothing.
Period. Meanwhile.
And that was it.
According to the woman that he pew-pewed in a club in the 90s, right? So that's how this whole J-Lo thing is involved. So in the 90s, P. Diddy was in the club, you know, doing his thing, shoulder rocking or whatever. And that's when he was dating J-Lo. And in the club, whatever was going on, there was a young lady by his section and he was getting all rattled or whatever. Supposedly and allegedly, J-Lo was the one who gave him the pew-pew. And then when he... supposedly, allegedly. And then the woman who got pew-pewed in the face literally saw Diddy do it. So as she was being pulled out So allegedly, he paid off like the club and the bouncers or whatever to stay quiet and not say that he did it. And when they went to, so when this woman got pulled out in the hospital, she's like, Diddy pew-pewed me. Diddy pew-pewed me. Like, and I'm sorry. you know, you can't say these words.
Uh-huh. So I got you.
So in the hospital, she's saying that, whatever. And then, so it's recorded. She's saying it, right? Went to court and she was like, this man pew-pewed me, like pointed him out, whatever. But what it was, one of the confessions that Diddy did with one of his producers was like, I get away with pew-pewing people all the time. That club that went to in the 90s, I pew-pewed that girl.
I ain't nothing.
Period. Yeah. And then he had one of his friends go down for him, a dude named Shine, took the rap for him and went to jail for him for pew-pewing someone. So imagine. So,
oh, somebody would
imagine. So now she's
asked me to take a blame for something like that and nothing, go to jail period. For them.
But imagine he probably got him set up somewhere. You know what I'm saying? If you take the rap for me, I'm going to make sure
your family's set for life.
Yeah. Like you're going to be straight. You know what I'm saying? You might be in here, but your books going to be covered. You're going to be living lavish in the jailhouse. You and the sheriff gonna be real acquainted. Wild. It's been just.
And then what happened?
I was like,
it's juicy. And I know I shouldn't be enjoying it so much, but you tell me, I'm like, mm-hmm. Tell me more.
I mean,
tell me more.
I know the woman that got pee-pee and wants to reopen the case so that Diddy is tried for it versus Shine. However, the whole like double jeopardy thing, I don't know if that would reopen, but I mean, it's something that is in his case file that it's added to Diddy's like list of allegations and as evidence. So I'm not sure what's going to go on from there, but there's a lot going on. And one thing just to keep in mind, like Homeland Security don't go to your crib for no reason. It's not like a knock, 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 oh, we heard. Nah, babes. There's like...
The amount of time it takes to build evidence mm-hmm. and enough reason to kind of like obtain a warrant, mm-hmm. right? That is worthy an investigation worthy of a warrant is pretty... It's pretty rigorous. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes a lot. Like, I remember back to the drug-infested Miami mm-hmm. days, how long it took for them to build this case against this cocaine drug mm-hmm. lord back in... it was, like, 1970s? Like, no. when the coke was, like... I forgot his name, but, like, he had an entire, like, empire mm-hmm. that was, like, securely built. And it took mm-hmm. years before they could bring mm-hmm. him down. And I mean, the documentary is actually, I think, still on Netflix. And when I was like, dang, it takes a long time. And they can't just go on a mm-hmm. hunch. Like, they need to have it. Because, like, if something happens, imagine suing Homeland Security.
Right.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. But anyway. Yeah. And then I heard the Suge Knight, the guy that's, like, you know, supposedly mm-hmm. murked, mm-hmm. You know, Tupac, apparently from the jailhouse told him that, yo, you better watch out, you're gonna get raided. But how did he know that?
Suge Knight is connected.
That's wild.
The thing that's really ridiculous too, Suge Knight had the audacity to go on an interview like while he's in jail to stand up for Diddy. Out of all the people to stand up for me, please don't let it be Suge Knight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not helping me, bro. Like, you're not. Like, shut up. Ain't nobody asking you to do nothing. Shut up your mouth.
It's like the sign is like, no, like, cut it out.
Play it. And nobody, but the thing that was really interesting, so I was watching Jesse Wu, right? Jesse Wu.
Uh-huh. Shout out to Jesse Wu.
We love a Haitian queen. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thriving. She was giving the whole rundown. She really went into depth. Kudos to her. She has a graduate degree. I think she has a background in law, which is actually quite amazing. She speaks like four languages, girl. Mm-hmm. Yes. We love an educated Haitian queen. Anywho, she went into a whole list of things that's going on. And I was just so blown away. So Suge Knight, dumbass. Him and Diddy are in cahoots, obviously, because what was it? What was Suge Knight's record label? Was it Murder? No, Murder Inc. is Ja Rule.
It was something record. That's where was his face was,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's where Tupac was.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, so he was, of course, his stuff, he's gonna be in jail forever because all of his compounded evidence. Forever. And so because he's known, imagine the things that he's gone through and gone away with over the years, he has people on the inside and outside that's telling him what's going on still, of course. So, I mean, if I was him, I wouldn't be the one to call Diddy to say something is going on. You know what I'm saying? I would I would create code words, or I would have somebody else that's completely unrelated. But oh, you don't know who I am? Cool, great. Call this number. Call this number.
But do you think Diddy would have like trusted that information from coming from somebody else?
Imagine you get a call from the same jail cell that like someone you worked with is coming from, and they say something very specific. Like,
I feel like you would have known. Like, I feel like somebody with as much influence, I feel like unless you have this incredible amount of just pure arrogance and narcissistic tendencies about you, you should know that at some point your misdeeds will no longer go unpunished. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like you should kind of prepare yourself for an inevitability of your life just coming crashing down around you. Unless, again, you feel like you're invincible.
He probably did.
Which maybe that's what the diamond triangle people, you know, all seeing eye, like, or like maybe that's what they're about. Like, maybe it's about, you know, the fact that they create so much of like cushioning around themselves, like they believe to the point like they are in fact invincible. But I mean, I was like reading some other things where I read that even like people like Jay-Z, like they're coming for them too, you know? Like, so I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I feel like when with power, people do get that feeling of being like invincible. I feel like people need to be reminded though, like even if you are this amazing person, mogul, whatever, there's less chances you'll be caught if you're a white guy. But if you're a black guy, there's just higher chances you might just get caught up.
Your likelihood drastically increases.
I just feel like that. Yeah,
that's true.
That's something to be talked about. True. So that's continuing, and we're going to just see how that goes. There's
more to come. More to come.
Last thing. Because oh my God, the evidence that was submitted into the court for this man, for Diddy's arrest, wild. Supposedly, allegedly, girl, there was cameras inside the bedrooms in his mansion where he was having these parties, right? And supposedly, allegedly, and this was on, I found this on TikTok, by the way. So that like, you know how he was having like these fun parties, right? Free parties.
Yeah.
And people were able to, you know, do their thing or whatever. And supposedly the videos, if they're doing something compromising, like, so if the person that's in there is married and they're doing something with someone else, if they're, you know, doing things that like either like gay or different or whatever it is, that Diddy would now have that evidence, and that evidence would be leveraged against them when it came to what music was coming out, what videos were coming out, what money was going to projects and things like that. Like supposedly he was like really blackmailing people to make sure that he stayed on that billboard list, right? With his company and who he's involved with, his name wouldn't be necessarily directly on that list of billboard. But if you go onto Billboard and you see how many times Universal is listed on Billboard, you'll see that they occupy 1/3 of the Billboard charts, right? And then the person, the owner of Universal, is someone who's listed on Diddy's allegations of who was, you know, supplying him with certain things, control, money, power, or whatever, was through this owner of Universal. And Diddy is part of Universal. So if Universal makes money, Diddy makes money. And Diddy has supposedly these alleged like videos. So that's also something that's listed on his documentation.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
The worst is getting worse.
Oh, one more thing, Greg. What?
No, please do it. Tell me. Exactly. Tell us.
I hope the listeners is listening, because we out here, right? So on the allegation.
You came prepared, and I'm loving it. I'm loving it so much.
On the allegations, the producer that actually put these allegations together, he was asked by Diddy to record everything. You know, now we're in this is the shit that gets you fucked up, this age of Aquarius, all this digital shit. Diddy was like, record everything. We're going to do a documentary, record everything. So imagine you're recording everything and someone is doing illegal shit in front of you, and it's all recorded. So the things that this producer was recording in, you know, wherever they were with Diddy, they have hundreds of hours of evidence, because the producer still has
just
the footage
available. That is wild.
So
I think, do you think it's going to be like a demonstration of loyalty as well? Like who keeps him, who still has his back and versus who doesn't? Or do you think like in that, like regardless, if you know you are part of this thing, that they're going to find your footage or evidence or whatever, your record, regardless?
I don't think
anyone's
going to say anything. Because imagine this has been going on since last year, publicly last year. So imagine the only person since last year when all this thing became public, the only person to stand up for P. Diddy was Suge Knight. But P. Diddy is involved with many, many, many people, and nobody has gone on social media, has made a public statement, has done anything to say, nah, P. Diddy's he's a stand-up guy. That's all I'm saying.
You're just gonna leave it right there. You're just gonna like let that thought marinate. But anyway, if you have any more information, any like little tidbits that you want to like, you know, drop them in the chat or drop them in the comment section
as we
release this, you know, like you know, send us direct message. Like we're plugged in. We want to know
that link because I will watch it. This is going to be a huge it, you know, because these people do see themselves as like godlike, right? This is going to be like a public crucifixion type vibe. And I feel like Diddy is going to, because this is going to be a publicized case, I think he's going to put himself as that person. Like, I'm being made an example of, I'm being crucified. I just see that as the next thing.
I just rolled my eyes so heavily right now. It's like, of course you're going to be the lamb set to for sacrificial whatever. It doesn't make it, I mean, it's not true, but like I understand what you're saying, because it's like, oh my god, woe is me type thing. It's very annoying, and because I think in the midst of all of this, what really is messing me up is like, especially for millennials, and you'll know what I'm talking about, I feel like so much of our childhood is being like ruined and deconstructed, because like those are people we looked up to, those are people with like whose music we used to vibe to, like these are people like that we like in the public like gave opportunities to other folks, you know, like help other musicians and other artists like get like come into the spotlight and get discovered and all of that stuff, like some of the connections and the like, you know what I mean, like, it just, it's such a deeply woven part of our like upbringing, and seeing all of that just being like all of the, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing type of thing, like all of that coming to light. I mean, first of all, like it's very interesting to see just like the lengths to which somebody would go to just do things that are just absolutely atrocious. But more so, it's like what are the lengths that you're going to go through to show this facade and this mask of innocence or benevolence that you actually don't even give two craps about? And how much you just fool people into thinking like here's who you are, and then it's just fake as hell. And I just, it really bothers me, because I no longer feel right vibing to like some songs and some music or some things, you know, that we just grew up, you know, just really listening to. And I don't know, it's just a lot. It's really a lot, because music certainly helped me with English, with English language, and I would write down those lyrics very like feverishly, you know, and like learn them and read them and listen to them. And it's just so sad. It's really sad. So if you're grieving your childhood, or you're grieving some of your upbringing because of because of what's happening with these artists, you know, just know like I'm right there with you, because it's a tough one.
I do feel like recently we have been grieving our childhood. Everything is being exposed. I feel like specifically for Diddy, I felt like he was someone to pay attention to way before. I felt like something that showed his true colors was when he was doing Making the Band. Remember he had like a group, Danity Kane, and how he would like, I love
you, love Danity
Kane, and the way he treated them and the things that they had to do, it didn't make sense. And then when everything like fell apart, apart. Like, they didn't get paid. Like, the producers of What's Going On didn't get paid. A lot of this stuff is coming up because he just wasn't paying people. You know what I'm saying? He wants to do all this ridiculousness and then not pay you is wild. But, like, I from watching that show, I was like, Diddy is just not that guy. Like, it gave me, like, crazy boss vibes from even when I was younger. And I feel like now as things are coming out, nobody was surprised when Cassie had her whole case come out. When Cassie's allegations come out, Cassie seemed like she was someone that was kept on a short leash every time we saw her or whatever. So, like, when her allegations came out, nobody was surprised. Nobody said, no, Diddy's not that guy, whatever. Nobody stood up for him. So, like, all these things happening, it's not surprising for me. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Speaking of ruining our childhood...
That was a perfect segue.
Thank you.
Keep digging. What's up?
Millennials, not only is the millennials' future out of whack, but our past was shit too. You know, life is good, like Future says.
What you got?
So have you seen Quiet on Set?
Oh my God. No. I have seen snippets. I have heard about it. I have seen videos about it. Have you seen it?
I've seen it. I watched the fourth episode yesterday, but there's supposedly a fifth episode coming out too.
Tell me like the most shocking part about it. I think for me, the most shocking piece about it were like all of the subliminal like gestures and like hand gestures and like comments and statement, like, or like some of the script pieces that were written, like seeing, I don't know. I think there's something about, I'll speak to Victorious as an, like a quick example, like the feigned innocence, right, portrayed of Ariana Grande, and the comment that she would just say in like the most innocent voice, and like looking at some of the ways that she would like kind of carry her bodies and some of the comments she would make about like licking things or like, you know, eating certain things. And then just like, now I felt weird. It was like cringe at the moment, like where I was watching it, but I couldn't figure out why it was cringeworthy to me. Mm-hmm. But then it's like having that, I don't know, just like this information kind of validating that, you're like, that's why that shit was weird to me. And like, it makes so much sense now. But anyway, what was like the most like striking thing for you?
I feel like, I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but I feel like this documentary made complete sense. The whole thing with Ariana Grande made complete sense. I just felt there was something about her, I just couldn't watch it. Like, I didn't watch Sam and Cat. When she was on Victorious, I love listening to her sing, but I hate when she spoke. I'm like, that's not her real voice. Like, why are they making her talk like that? And she was like, you know, like moving her shoulders up and down, like you said. I always thought that was odd, and I was like, this is something about this is just weird. And then something that they pointed out that I thought as well when I was watching it, when I watched, was it Zoe 101 with Jamie Lynn Spears? The way that these young girls were just out in bathing, like, not that bathing suits is not okay because you're a young girl, you can wear whatever you want. It's just the way that they were always like exposed and like laying down. They were always like in bikinis, laying down, like always doing things. I'm just like, I just don't understand why there's so many scenes like this. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that's like when I was watching it before they even showed the clip of Zoe, I'm like, I wonder if they're gonna do Zoe, and they did. I was like, oh good, it wasn't just me thinking it. So when a few things was being pointed out, I was like, okay, that makes sense. The things that really drove me crazy was just talking about Drake Bell's experience.
Tell me your thoughts about it, because I'm really curious. Because some people, I even saw like as early as today, people were like, look, like investigate more. Like Keenan went into it, was like, investigate. And I'm not making any judgment. I'm not making any moral, like I'm not passing any moral judgment. I just really want to hear, because first and foremost, believe victims always. Yes. And I'm going to die on that hill, but I really am curious as to like what you got from his experience.
It broke my heart. It broke my heart, because, and I 1000% blame his mother. And I know, like, I feel like a lot of stories that happened in the 90s, a lot of these parents should have been, like, the whole thing with R. Kelly, the parents should have been, like, more hands-on. Mm-hmm. The thing with Nickelodeon, these parents, because I know me, there's no way in hell you're going to tell me I can't be in this room with my son. What's gonna happen? What's the next step? Tell me, what, you're gonna fire me? Cool, because you're not gonna be in this room with my son while he's changing. You're not gonna be rubbing on my son's shoulders. You're not gonna be helping him get dressed. You're not gonna be talking to him late at night. You're not gonna be picking him up and dropping him off and picking him up and multiple times. He's not gonna be staying at your house. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just certain things I just. What? So, okay, for example, I'll do a quick thing, but I won't go too deep for people who haven't watched it. Drake Bell's father was the one that was like putting his hand up, like, no, that's inappropriate. Mm-hmm. No, that's inappropriate. He went and he said something. What's his name? Brian Beck. Is it Brian Beck is his name? The one that molested Drake Bell. He's the one that, you know, his dad was like, no, this man is being inappropriate with my son. And then the people that worked like on set was like, well, you know, he's gay and maybe you're just being a little homophobic. And I was like, this grown 40-year-old man helping my son put on his pants is me being homophobic. Bit. And then that's what he was like, no, after that, I started speaking up more. No, you cannot help my son. And he started being, you know, like very active. Right. And then this guy got into, you know, Drake's head. Your dad is too much. Da, 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 da. Create a rift between him and his dad. Then mm-hmm. he exiled his dad and his mom was helping him instead as a manager. His mom was living her life and was allowing this molester to be the person that's taking Drake everywhere, whatever, whatever. And later on, like he experienced these terrible things for years. He wasn't just like, oh, one incident happened, people caught on and then it was reported. I think it was 2+ years that he was going through things. And it's the dad told the mom, you can do whatever you want. You don't want me to handle this. Drake is saying, you know, he don't want me to be part of this. Cool. But this one person, do everything in your might to not let this person be around Drake. And the one person he said, don't do it. She's like handed Drake to him. The guy's like, oh, yeah, I can take him to these things. He can stay at my house. I can do all these things for him. No problem. And the mom was like, all right. Are you serious? I was livid.
I feel so. And I hear you. And I'm not a parent yet. At least I don't know what the future holds. But and I hear what you're saying about like the sheer lack of responsibility coming from the parents in a lot of these cases. I'm wondering if there were instances of, and I don't know this, like the history of every single parent, obviously, nor do I need to know, but I'm thinking about like what makes a child vulnerable mm-hmm. in a family unit. And parents a lot of times are like, you know, like they're supposed to be the primary line of defense, right? You're mm-hmm. supposed to be the protector to that child's experience. And I'm wondering like how much of, again, going back to like the way that our society is structured, how much is rooted in survival and the need to feel like the feeling that you need to accept certain situations because you want so much a better life or better circumstances, more opportunity for your child, for your children or what have you. And I mean, I don't know, again, that parental instinct, I can't speak to that. I feel as though there has to be something like as a parent where you kind of notice like something is off with your kid, you know, like the say, for example, something happened and you couldn't prevent that first thing from happening. Mm-hmm. I feel as though you've got to notice a shift.
The difference. Yeah. Exactly.
I feel like there's got to be a point in time where you're like, my kid is different. Mm-hmm. My kid is behaving differently, is talking to me differently, maybe more closed off. But then it has to be like you have to have established some sort of like a trusting, you know, healthy relationship with your child first, mm-hmm. and be an observant parent and be an involved and engaged parent first before you get to the point of like noticing when those shifts are happening. So how much of that disengagement happened from before mm-hmm. that created these pockets of vulnerability where these grown people could then leverage to abuse, molest, take advantage, you know, use an usurp, like those kids' innocence and mm-hmm. in their bodies and everything else. You know what, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And as a part of that, it's like, are you yourself like starstruck or impressed with like the level of just fame and popularity mm-hmm. and money that's coming into the bank where you don't have to worry anymore, where you are willing yourself to ignore those very signs and not messes up people? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my God, my heart still breaks to this day for Amanda Bynes and like all of the, I mean, I don't like, I, like from time to time, she'll like pop up on my FYP and I see like the things that she's doing. And I feel like there's a lot of that effort to just kind of like be normal. Like she's just trying to get her, yeah, you know, her nail somewhere. Tech license right now and gonna take the exam, for example, you know, she and it's like, it. Okay, she failed it.
She failed it and she's trying and she's trying again.
Yeah, she said she's gonna keep trying. She's gonna keep trying, you know, but she's it's stuck like somewhere. Like those, and like those lives absolutely ruined. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering like how much of those, like, again, yeah, parents, accountability, 100% definitely. I'm wondering like how much of that is like, oh, you're willing to overlook certain things because you want so badly for you not to starve or for you not to have what you need or for you not to give your kids what they need or whatever the case is. Or sometimes at their own insistence as children, mm-hmm. like, I want to do this. I want to become an actor. I want to be famous. I want to be popular, whatever the case is, right? And you're not going to stop me. And then the parent is like, okay, well, then this is what we're going to do, you know?
There has to be some form of reasoning somewhere, though. I feel like you should support your children in the things that they want to aspire to do. I support mm-hmm. that 1,000%.
Reasonably.
Right. However, right. it's important to keep, like, again, like, if something happens to your child, even if there's someone else that's doing it, you are going to be blamed for it. You are supposed to protect your kids. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing is with Drake's mom, is that I felt like the decisions that she made to allow this man to be around Drake was in spite of her, of the dad. Like, they had a really crazy divorce. And for someone specifically to say, I have no problems with you taking over everything. I just ask that you keep our son away from this one person. I don't care if I hate my son's father. I can't stand his breathing. Type vibe, but if you mm-hmm. tell me that that's something that you saw, bet you feel me, like,
you ought to trust, like, I mean, that you trusted that person at some point right. in time, right? Mm-hmm. And if they're, and it's, again, it's not about you, it's about your child,
right?
And it's coming from a place, it's like, you can have all the beef that you want with your significant other, with your spouse or whatever, but like, or but if they are an excellent parent and they have demonstrated time and time again how much of like a good parent they are, and they tell you something or give you some sort of warning, like, heed it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, heed that warning and do that.
Right.
Do that one thing, because it's so selfish to me, and it fuels me with rage.
Tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. That out of spite for your ex-spouse, you're going to risk your child's
life.
Well-being, sanity, innocence, all of that stuff. You know, like, to me, it's just like, it enrages me. And I don't know. It's just, it's awful.
It is awful. And this show really made me, like, it just makes you think, because there's so many things that are out there, like, where is this child star now? And imagine the things that these child stars have to go through. I have to make sure I get out of child stardom into full stardom and not F up anywhere, not end up an addict, not do this, not do that. Da, da, da. And yeah, there's so much pressure from early on. And like, for you to think that your child won't experience some type of mental break, you have to consider your child's well-being in between all of that.
Right.
You want to do this movie? Cool. We're going to do this movie and we're going to take a 2-month break. You want, and I understand that's hard. I get it. Cause I mean, I'm not in that type of life. I don't know how that works. However, I know how my brain works. And if I'm going and 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 not stopping for any point in time to take my break, I'm going to lose my mind. And in fact, it's proven that these people have mm-hmm. lost their minds. Like, they've lost themselves. They've struggled with addiction. They've struggled with finding themselves, their identities. They've struggled with integrating into just regular civilian life. Like, there's so many things that just aren't being handled. But I also understand, too, it's a different time. Like, us in 2024, if my son was in this, I would make sure that he was in therapy, blah, 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 whatever, because mm-hmm. of access and conversation and communication. But back then, I can understand how like something like that may not be as discussed, but my rebuttal to that is Drake Bell is a white man. He is a white man. Both of his parents are white. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're making enough money to have access to things to the point that people around you are doing those things. Like the thing that got Drake Bell help was that his girlfriend's mom noticed something off about him. Not his mama. His girlfriend's mom noticed that there's something off about him. Something off about the guy that was blowing up his phone. Something off about his, like, I don't want to go home. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Someone else had to notice that and be like, okay, let me see what I can do for you today. And that's how things kind of like can't like it started kind of like coming together to come to the end of something. Mm-hmm. It took somebody else to notice a difference in her child. How annoying that is. And the fact that that child's mother had access to therapy. But you're telling me Drake Bell, someone who's supposedly making thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, is signed to a record label, is signed to do many movies, TV shows or whatever. You're telling me you did not have access to therapy? You didn't have access to having anyone talk to your child? You didn't have anything to better your life's child? What were you focused on? They don't talk about the mom too much, and the mom doesn't come on the show at all. It's the dad makes statements and he's physically on there. But one thing I would love to see is the mom's statement. I would love to see what she has to say. She's probably getting attacked. She's probably getting attacked.
Oh yeah, no, I'm sure of it. But then and maybe and even if there was any sort of remorse and repentance, I mean, what's done is done. The damage has already been created. And it's a case for a lot of these child actors. I remember the movie was it Cody Banks when he was like he was a spy, like a teenage spy. And he like was very, very like popular. And he was also like in Malcolm in the Middle and all of that stuff. Right. And he was talking the other day. I forgot his real name. And I'm sorry about that. But he was saying like he has a kid now. And he was like, I would never expose my kid to like child acting. I would never expose my kid to that industry. That. And when you think about it, like so many actors and actors, like so many artists have said the same exact thing. Like, the industry is vicious. It's dangerous. It's very risky. It's a lot going on. And I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to expose my kids to the like to that kind of environment, to that level of toxicity. Wow. And it really had me thinking about like some other artists, like who like some other child actors who have come out of on the other side of it, seemingly intact. And I'm wondering like what were the protective factors in place? Like, so you're not talking about like somebody like Zendaya, for example, right? Who like grew up in the Disney spotlight and who seems to have it together and who seems to be like, I'm wondering, like, you know, like, so some of those like child actors who have come around, like, and have been for the most part, like, seem all right. What are some of those protective factors that they were able to kind of be surrounded by to like allow them to maintain like the integrity of their identity and the integrity of their well-being and their mental stability? And I don't think you come out of that without like some proper care, therapy, wraparound, just goodness enveloping you. And I also don't think like it comes around without like some really serious protection, you know what I'm saying? And maybe some of those things are exactly what you're saying. Maybe some of those parents like took no crap. Maybe they were like, you know, absolutely not, my kid is gonna work from this time to this time, is gonna work these number of hours a day, and you know, and we're not gonna be afraid to walk away if this is not working out, because at the end of the day, the sanity of my kid, the well-being of my kid is like paramount.
It's
and
most
so
important.
Go, you gotta go, do what you gotta do. And I think sometimes what we tend to forget, and the last piece I'm going to say about this, is like the industry needs these people as much as these people need the industry.
Right.
Because if you think about like if everybody decided to walk away from the set and walked away from a show and decided, you know what, screw it. Yeah, they would have like quite a bit of people, but would they be as like as high of a caliber? What would be the drawback? What would be the loss in millions? Because sometimes even one episode that is like being replayed as opposed to a brand new one being aired costs like thousands and thousands of dollars. Right. So when you think about that loss and that hit to the platform, that hit to the channel, it's a lot. And it's a lot as a producer, it's a lot as a director, mm-hmm. as a showmaker to shoulder, because you have to answer to that. You have to answer that to the moguls, right. you know, of the television channel or whatever. And so I wonder, like, I think that's that part is sometimes forgotten too. Is it that, you know, maybe it is a once in a lifetime opportunity that has a possibility of changing your whole life, but mm-hmm. it is a once in a lifetime opportunity that has a possibility of ruining your whole life. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you for bringing this up. It's like a very, yeah, it's a different type of like. It's all connected, but it's like looking at it from that different perspective, like from the perpetrator to like the victims mm-hmm. of those actions. And oftentimes, you know, you'll have like victims who themselves become perpetrators, like, you know, hurt people. And, you know, you're bred and indoctrinated and bred in that environment. Like, sometimes it can be very difficult mm-hmm. to pierce out of it, and not excusing behavior, absolutely not, but I'm just wondering, like, how much of that, you know, own like predatory behavior has been influenced by what they grew up and doing and learning, you know what I'm saying?
If how you learn to love someone, or how you learn to interact with someone, or how you learned to be like, I guess, sexually active with someone was through trauma, then mm-hmm. unless you have healing to go through that trauma and create something better, that's what you have to, that's your evidence, right? I'm going to treat other people this way because to me that was okay. And then, like, not every trauma is as traumatic at that moment, and things happen and people don't, like, there's so many things in life that once you get older and you have the words for it, that's when you're like, oh crap, like, this happened to me and I didn't have the words for it when I was younger. And then you go through the healing. So, I mean, it's true. Mm-hmm. People go through being a victim to being the perpetrator because there's something that just was taught to them that was never unlearned. I like that you brought up Zendaya. I feel like Zendaya is a prime example, because you mm-hmm. don't really see too many childhood like stars become mm-hmm. so prevalent in Hollywood following mm-hmm. their like childhood stardom. Mm-hmm. I do think education is really important. I think the education of her parents had to have been like, there's some level of education that they have that I think many other people maybe not have. And mm-hmm. then she has a white mother and a black father. I feel like by those two things pouring in, I feel like somewhere in their common sense was formed. However, one thing I realized about her interviews, she's very hyper aware of who she is. She's like, I'm a mixed woman. I know I have color privilege. I know mm-hmm. there's certain things that I have, and her parents continue to educate her and teach her and allow her to be hyper vigilant of what's mm-hmm. going on. She points out things that make her uncomfortable. She says certain statements that you as an adult now watching these interviews, if you watch some of Zendaya's interviews, mm-hmm. the way she answers these questions are just far beyond her years, to where she's answering it in a professional way, but also reminding like the person asking the question, don't ask me that type of shit.
Oh yeah, no, her emotional intelligence is crazy. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's on point. And that's what I was saying, like, having this amount of awareness just mm-hmm. like just flowing through you,
yeah,
it has to come with a certain these very great like levels of protection. And I've seen mm-hmm. like the way she even talks about like her dad, for example, and how much of like a protector he is. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't be surprised, like, he showed up in the scene and was like, you know, made it known, or her mom for that matter. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, or even having other people who were maybe a part of the industry, bred in the industry, understand some of those risks, like the mm-hmm. like that piece that you're talking about, the education about what you're getting into. And I think what makes also like the difference, Anne, is like when you were talking about what you would allow and what you wouldn't allow with your own child, is that you educate yourself. It's mm-hmm. it's like your kid wants to take up swimming and be part of like a competitive swimming team. First of all, you're going to learn all that there is to learn about what competitive swimming is, what it takes, what are the efforts that are required, what he would need to do. You then have the conversation about what would be expected, the level of effort and commitment that would need. And furthermore, you find a way to insert yourself in that community. Right. Whether that means like I'm going to be the, you know, the competitive swimming mom, and that's going to be showing up with like the sliced oranges and the sandwiches, and I'm going to be part of like all of the meetings that take place. Right. I'm going to have that coach's number. I'm going to have all of that areas to know so that I make sure that my kid and you show up. Right. And that's the other thing. It's like showing up, I feel. Someone said that, like another parent, I don't remember if it was like a famous parent, but someone was like half of the job of being a parent is showing up.
Right.
And it makes all of the difference. And again, going back to predatory behavior, predators look out for those things.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the parents that are actually engaged in that kid, in those kids' lives, and who aren't? And I'm going to bet you money that they're not going to go hard after or after at all the ones where like the parents are always there.
Active, right. That's exactly what was being said about Drake's dad. Like, Drake's dad was so good at being there that, I mean, the predator was like, we have to get your dad out of here, to the point like he completely manipulated and molded the situation 1000%. Got rid of the dad. He knew that they had a bad divorce. They knew that they weren't speaking, the mom and the dad. So like, it was just a lot. But you mentioned the moms for these teams. I have been the team mom 3 times. And it is not easy. And I don't want to do it again. I'm not going to even lie to you. I don't. There's meetings involved. There's trainings. You have to do all kinds of things. You have to be very involved. You have to be very like informed. Like I'm still very informed because my son is part of something that I need to be informed. However, I ain't got time for all these meetings, but I do love the moms and the dads and the parents that insert themselves in a way that makes their presence known and provides a safe environment for not only their child, but the children that are like, you know, are a part of it. So I do appreciate that. So shout out to the parents, the real parents, not the donors. Some of these people got you messed up. These real parents are really showing up for their children in whatever capacity and allowing them to feel safe in their presence, to make them feel loved, to make them feel seen. Like, your impact matters so much.
And you've saved your kids more than you know, just by being there. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of your efforts as parents that go unnoticed. A lot of the sacrifices that you make that sometimes even as a parent, you don't realize is a sacrifice until you're up against, you know, some other, you know, conflicting situation or demand in your life. And I just, again, like I commend parents that are just actively involved. I remember growing up, I was in dance class and I also played the violin. Like, I was very much like active in like the arts and everything. And I remember seeing and I was fine, right? It was perfectly okay. But like, I remember seeing like the very involved and engaged parents that they would be like helping in the back, you know, when during recital time, they would be like helping in the back, like to like get all of the hair like figured out. Yeah. Like they would volunteer to be involved. They would be like, oh yeah, I know this dance and that dance and all of that. And for me, it wasn't my mother per se because of like how demanding like her work was, but I did have a parent like figure, like my aunt, who would like know all of my choreographies. Mm-hmm. She would know all of my scenes, mm-hmm. like all of my sets. She would know which uniform and this and that, and would like, you like, she was like so actively involved. And I remember, like, I'm getting emotional, I don't know why, but like, it made all the difference. Because it does make a difference, because like at that age, if you're not the one setting those boundaries, if you're not the one showing up and cheering on your kid, if you're not the one just being there, like the backbone, the support system and all of the things that they need. And if you're not like that nurturer and that space to do that too, like, I mean, it impacts them negatively. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's a big deal. And it also makes them more vulnerable to those situations. So shout out to parents, but also shout out to people who, whether willingly or unwillingly, stepped into the roles of the role of parents and parented their siblings, parented their nieces and nephews, parented the neighbor's child, the neighbor's kids, like the anyone who's taken on this parenting role, just and showed up. I just want to say, like, just thank you.
Yes,
like, thank you for being that person. Yeah.
Thank you. That's a good way.
Yeah, I got in my feelings.
That's fair. Thank you for having this conversation with me. I feel like just as Cat Williams predicted how things are being revealed, things are being revealed. And it's really important to really just step into yourself sometimes and be like, am I okay? Am I good?
Am I good? Are you good?
Are you good? Are we good? But I hope everyone, wherever you're listening, really got into the conversation and you sipped some tea with us and you were like, damn, in certain parts, and you really like just saw yourself in these positions and the decisions that you would make differently. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being part of the MMP fam. And if you're not part of the MMP fam,
what are you doing?
We beefing. Right. What are you doing? We beefing. Join the MMP fam.
Do it.
Okay. Yeah. We're on everything, like I said before. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Melody Movement. We are on Instagram, Melody Movement Podcast. On our Instagram, you can find our linktree.com/ Melody Movement. We have all of our socials on there, our Twitter, our TikTok, our IG, our YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. I'm going to say it again. And then also, whatever you want to listen to the podcast that is available to you, we have Spotify, Amazon, we have Apple, we have Google, we have Podbean. So whatever tickles your fancy, babe, it's there for you. Go ahead and pop that in, listen to it, like it, let us know that you've liked it so we can tell you thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for writing and rocking with us. Thank you for listening to the heavy stuff with us. Sometimes we don't even know it's going to get this heavy until we're like, oh, dang, here we are. We love you. We love you. And we cherish all the support and the love that you give us back. And so, yeah, I mean, and everything else that Anne just said. So, yeah.
Ditto. So, again, this has been
the Melanated Movement Podcast with
we
Tess and Anne. Until next time.